Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. High Velocity Radio is brought to you by PSI Digital Media Experts, the market leader in delivering digital media services. From manufacturing millions of CDs and DVDs to turnkey e-commerce solutions and streaming high-definition video over their worldwide content distribution network, PSI has the solutions to meet your needs. Find PSI at psidiscs.com, psidiscs.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from Radio X Studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Stone Payton.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is a passel of people, including my good buddy, Todd Schnick. What's happening, Todd?
Not much, Stone. How are you this morning?
I am doing well. Have we ever had this many people in the studio?
We've never had this many guests in the studio before. In fact, I'm using Lee's mic today. We're so full.
We're going to have a good time, but before we get started with the show, get us caught up on your activities. I understand you're going to run a half marathon.
Oh, yeah. No, I started this adventure on Thanksgiving Day when I realized how fat that I am, and all a bunch of my friends were out running half marathons on Thanksgiving Day. I said, you know what? That's going to be me next year. So I got that going, and I'm already about 2 weeks into training. I had my first run day yesterday. I hurt like a mother, but I feel good, and I'm excited about it. It's going to be a great adventure.
And naturally, you had to start another blog to support this activity.
I had to start another blog. It's called intrepidrunner.wordpress.com. I feature Fuego Mundo, by the way, as a healthy food option. So I'll talk more about that later. But so that's my latest adventure.
And well, get us caught up on Speed School, because I am absolutely giddy about that.
Well, Speed School has launched officially. We haven't made any real formal announcements yet, but it's live and ready to go. It's myspeedschool.com.
Yeah, I know we haven't made any formal announcements. That's why I asked you to get us caught up on it.
Well, hey, you know, it's just a really exciting new product that Stone and I have put out under the High Velocity banner. It's an online curriculum that's going to help the consultants solve their marketing and sales problems.
Well, we do have a marvelous show this morning. How about introducing some of our guests and tell us what today's all about?
Trying to decide how we were going to best. We really do have a circus in the studio today, and it's far be it for me to have enough knowledge or awareness of all of our great guests. What I think we'll do is I think we'll go around the horn and let everybody introduce themselves, their name, their restaurant, and tell a little bit about your restaurant and some of the food options. So why don't we start with you, Masha?
Hi. Well, I'm Masha Halip Hershkovitz, and the owner of Fuego Mundo Restaurant. We are at the Prado, in the newly renovated Prado in Sandy Springs, and we're a South American wood fire grill, and the first of its kind anywhere in the U.S., a fusion of South American flavors.
Great. Brian?
My name is Brian Lackey. I own Pizzeria Vinti in Buckhead. We are located in Lenox Village on Lenox Road. We do authentic Italian Tuscan-style pizza by the slicer, by the pan. We also offer a lot of other great options. We don't just do pizza. We do pastas, great salads, and some other baked goods as well.
Chip?
Yes, I'm Chip DeSormo, owner of Brookhaven Bistro. That's brookhavenbistro.com. We're halfway between Oglethorpe University and the Capital City Country Club in Brookhaven area on Peachtree. And we serve traditional foods just prepared in a more healthy way. We serve a lot of burgers and quesadillas. We also do gourmet salads and soups, specials of the day, and so on.
Great. We do have a fourth restaurant owner joining us momentarily, but some traffic issues, so we'll introduce him.
And I'm Stone Payton, dedicated eater.
Yes, Stone is a very, very good eater, and apparently I am too, which is why I have to do this marathon thing to lose this tire around my gut. But all right, so guys, I don't have any real agenda here. I don't want this to be a formal one-on-one interview. This is meant to feature and spotlight what you all do and what makes you different. And so what I'm going to do, I am going to go around the horn one more time, and I want to ask each a specific question. But then this is really a marketing roundtable. I'll talk about the challenges that we're all facing in this economy and in this very competitive restaurant market that we're in Metro Atlanta. And when we get into more of the marketing discussion, it will be more roundtable. So feel free to pipe in with comments and thoughts and all that. So let's make this a conversation. But let's go around one more time. And Tell us what makes your restaurant different from other dining options in Metro. Let's start with you this time, Chip.
Probably the most significant thing that makes us different is that we're owner-operated and the owner runs the counter. And so when our customers come up, they're coming, of course, for the food because they're hungry, but they also enjoy kind of a Cheers atmosphere. I make it a point to know as many of my customers' names as possible, their kids and that sort of a thing. I think that that's probably one of the most important things that we do. People really look forward to that. Whenever I'm not there, like I'm not now, my poor wife, she has to put up with customers saying, "Where's Chip? Where's Chip?" And we think that really, really makes a big difference. And, you know, because there are a lot of other places to eat, so what makes us special besides good food? Did you want more?
we'll come back to you. Brian, tell us what makes you guys different.
Well, I mean, I agree with Chip there is that, you know, we're owner-operated. I'm there almost every day. I get Mondays off, thankfully, but here I am spending my day
you're
off
lucky.
Marketing. So, you know.
Well, see, now you're world famous because you're on High Velocity,
Exactly. So, you know, we do put a huge focus on customer service, but when you get down to it, you know, Atlanta has a lot of places to eat, like Chip said. I mean, you've got to really stand out. And so what we try to do is we try to offer something different. You know, we do pizza, and we do it very well. But in the Atlanta market, you have to find some way to be different. And so, you know, we import Italian water to make the dough because it makes a difference.
Wow.
Our pizza does taste different. It's like nothing you've ever had in Atlanta before. You know, we don't do a thin crust. You do a very specific type of pizza. So, you know, if people like the food, they're going to come for that, but they're going to come back for the ambiance and the fact that they can sit around and just chat and, you know, they can spend all day there if they really want to, because it's a great feel at the restaurant. So
I'm stuck on you importing Italian water.
Yeah. We use imported Italian water to make the dough.
That's
well, tell
incredible.
Them about, tell them about your real secret weapon, because is it your father or father-in-law that visits with all the guests?
Yeah. My dad, like I said, you know, we're a family-run restaurant, and you know, my dad is a talker, and if you happen to catch him there, he is going to talk to you. And he's a great personality. I mean, he is a great person to have on my team. So, I mean, that's the first thing Stone said when he said, he's like, "I visited with your dad when I was there." I was like, "Yes, you did," and he probably talked to you for an hour.
How does Italian water compare to New York water? Because I hear that's pretty good too.
Well, I mean that does make a difference. People say you can't get New York bagels anywhere but New
right.
York. You can't get New York pizza anywhere but New York.
That's what I
It's
hear.
Because it's the water.
I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
All right, Maja?
Well, interesting enough, Fuego Mundo is a family-owned restaurant as well. My husband and I run it. We're very hands-on. And as it is our first location, we do want to grow it, but this is the first one, and we plan to be hands-on. This one and future ones, we do focus quite a bit on customer service as well. But back to the foods, South American Wood Fire Grill. There's a lot of restaurants that are South American or Latin that focus on one specific country. One of the things that makes us unique is we're a fusion of all different South American countries. We have Argentinian skirt steak and ceviche made Peruvian style and beef empanadas. Flavors from all over the continent. And we do everything on the grill, fresh, made to order. And we're a great place for meat lovers and vegetarians, which is another different thing that makes us unique. Most South American restaurants are not quite like that. There's a big focus on nutrition in ours. And we have a choice of about 15, 20 entrees, and they're all gluten-free and dairy-free.
Oh, that's great.
And all our sides are vegan-friendly. Like, we don't use pork in anything. So the vegetarians and health-conscious people are loving it, and people with allergies are loving it. And people that just like meat couldn't care less about any of that, and they're loving it too. So we're really happy about the response that we're getting. And our foods are very affordable. We're a fast casual, kind of leaning on upscale casual restaurant with a nice environment. It's friendly and casual, but it's a good feeling going there as well. So we're kind of happy that it's kind of turned out that way because we designed it. And it was nice that it just came together in that way. So that's a little more detailed summary about Fuego Mundo.
Well, it doesn't have every detail because she has another secret weapon called sangria. Tell them about the sangria.
Oh. That is true. I did want to pull in something from Spain, even though it's not technically South America. So it's a recipe that I developed. I kind of tested out different homemade sangrias and kind of put my little love into it. And it's all natural. We make fresh squeezed oranges and tangerines and other juices that we mix in with the wines and the fruit, and people are loving it. We're doing it in a traditional red and a citrus white. Actually, Todd has something to do with that because his wife is allergic to red wine, and I tested it out one day doing a white wine for her, and everybody loved it, so now it's on the menu as a fixed option.
Still not getting my cut of that yet.
Keep coming.
All right. Well,
we'll have to talk about that later.
Absolutely. Good news is our fourth owner has finally joined us, Jason Hill.
Finally.
Yeah. Welcome to High Velocity Radio. What we've already done is introduce yourself. Tell us about your restaurant, where it is, and what makes you different in the marketplace.
Well, first off, my name is Jason. I'm the chef owner of a Wisteria restaurant, and we're located at 471 North Highland Avenue, which is down in the Inman Park area. In the Inman Park area of town, which is the first established neighborhood in Atlanta. You know, I don't know what makes us different. I know 8 years ago when we opened, we were kind of the first Southern American restaurant, or one of the first Southern American restaurants to hit the scene, and that's become a very popular thing now.
Did you say Southern American?
Southern American, yes, sir. So I guess that's kind of set us apart, and all of a sudden this Southern phenomenon has hit. And it keeps hitting for us. I was very scared this last year, like many businesses were, and we seem to upturn. Our portions are heavy portions, and I think we're priced at a price point that people seem to enjoy. Like last night, for instance, Tony Gonzalez of the Falcons came in with a big party, and we're still getting those people, and it puts a smile on your face knowing that, you know, you're still being talked about, you're still out there, and just trying to keep your name out there.
Great. Well, you know, did he bring other players? Because there's a lot of appetites. That would be a great coup to get.
They were extremely nice. I mean, that's one thing I think that sets us apart, too. I try to stress to a lot of people that are trying to open their own restaurant or friends of mine, is your staff makes the difference. You know, your food can be all right, but a nice, friendly staff makes a difference. And I think that's what sets us apart there. So I have to give my staff a lot of the credit for my success.
Great. All right. Well, kind of the goal today, guys, was to have a discussion about marketing and the challenges that we're all facing, but also to discuss some of the things that are working for us and talk about some of the opportunities down the road. I think we can all agree that the economy has turned. Let me say, on behalf of Stone and myself, how much we admire and appreciate the fact that you guys are out there doing it. Opening a restaurant is difficult, and running one is hard, let alone in this environment. So congrats to you for being out there. So what I wanted to do first, let's talk about the nasty stuff first. We're in this bad economy. How is this economy affecting you? I mean, are you seeing reduced traffic? Is traffic the same? Is it better? What are you seeing in terms of how it's impacting the business at your joint? Now, what we can do here is just have a conversation. So there's no real order here. So if someone just wants to jump in and comment on that, let's just do it that way.
Well, I think one of the benefits that someone like Wisteria has had is that they opened before the economy. You know, I opened in December of last year, right at the bottom of it. You know, so as far as anything to judge it against, I mean, from when we opened to now, you know, business has been growing. So that, you know, that's a positive. When you open up at the bottom, it can only get better from there, one would hope. So that's one of the things that we've been seeing as the year has gone on. You know, we just celebrated our one-year anniversary this past Saturday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I'll bow. So month over month, week over week, it's been getting better. So, and I don't know if that's a sign of the economy getting better. I don't want to, you know, make a broad-stroked economic view or whatever, but you know, people are finding out about us. So you know, that is one of the things that we've seen at our restaurant is that, you know, we are getting stronger. More and more people are getting it, the word out about us. So
We'd probably all agree that word of mouth is critical to success for all four of your all's facilities.
Absolutely critical. Yeah, completely.
Are you seeing that benefit? I mean, is that discussion? Now, Masha, you're a little bit newer. You're about to celebrate your six-month anniversary.
On Saturday was our six-month anniversary.
All right. Well, congratulations. Congratulations to you, Brian, for being open to the year. That's probably a good sign. There's probably a statistic that says if you've made it that long, you're probably going to get through that. So.
I think there's one for 1, 2, and 5 years.
Right.
Once you make it past five, you're there. You're solid.
Well, correct. I don't know if you're solid, but I mean that was the scary thing. That was the scary thing for me at Wisteria is, you know, we've kind of gone through two big things. We opened 2 days before September the 11th, 2001, and I was thinking, great, I'm done. And then when this turmoil came around, the economy, I thought, well, am I going to make it a second? Do I have the luck two times in a row? Am I going to make it? Do I have the luck? And so far, so good. You know, I cannot complain. I've been very, very lucky. You know, every time we see a little turn and we're down a few days here and there, I get a little bit more depressed than I used to, of course, you know, because you think it's going to come back around. Then all of a sudden, we'll have a busy weekend like we did this weekend, and it comes back around, and you see the smiles coming back on the staff. And that's the hardest thing, I think, with us business owners now is trying to keep our staff smiling. You know, I always tell everyone, I try to get out there on the floor as much as I can. I think we all do. I think if you're out there and you're meeting your customers, they love it. But I always try to tell owners, you know, you may meet 10% of your clientele. Your staff meets 100%. And I think that's what keeps people coming back. And obviously, if you're celebrating your 6 month and your first year right now in this economy, you're out there talking and you have a good staff. And that's what people are looking for. They want to feel comfortable. They want to spend their money where they want. They can spend their money where they want. I think they want to spend it where they feel like they're at home and they have, you know, like it's their place.
Well, that was my question was what's the one thing you guys are doing to try to generate that word of mouth? What is one thing you're hoping you can do to add to your system as to how to generate and expedite that word of mouth conversation?
Well, Fuego Mundo, we're blessed that we're having a very good response to our product. And I think that the price, being at the right price point is very important in this economy, so that helps. But with all that, we still would like to grow it substantially much more. So what I'm finding, this is the first Fuego Mundo, but my husband and I, Udi, we've been in the restaurant business before. But what we find now in this economy is that you have to be good at everything, like not just operationally, but with marketing. And there's just so many different avenues, and it seems like you really got to tap into all of them with the social media, with the traditional marketing, with emailing. And special events. Before we opened, we didn't think that would be, we didn't envision that we would be doing so many special events at Fuego Mundo. It's quite an exciting undertaking. Book signings, tweet ups, charity events, wine tastings, all sorts of things.
I'll have to be sure to plug the punk rock champagne.
And we have a very, very exciting, unique event next week on Wednesday, the punk rock champagne tasting. I think it's going to be the tweet up of the century at Fuego Mundo. And Todd is hosting that with Stephanie Lloyd and...
We have another HR exec. Her name's Lori Rudeman out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Actually, a coast from North Carolina. Yeah, Masha,
she's
I think
the punk rock aspect of it.
She is the punk rock aspect. I have a feeling that the events the place is going to be packed. There's no doubt about it. The only question is how soon does Todd go to jail for violating fire code?
No.
In terms of marketing.
At least wait for the raffle till we take you away.
You touched on something that's been real big for us, and that's our email marketing. Mm-hmm. At the counter, we have a frequent diner club card, and you don't just pick up the card. You get the card, but you also fill out a little form where we capture your identity, the customer's, you know, their email address and their name. I've been collecting birth dates and phone numbers, but I haven't used the phone number. The birth dates are good. You email somebody and tell them they have a free lunch. They'll be in the next day.
Yeah.
But
free
that's,
is big right now.
Yes, and that works really, really well. But those little diner cards, people absolutely love those things. And the way that we have it set up is we use kind of an honor system. A lot of people say I should get a special hole punch, but whatever. We're not that kind of a place. We don't attract those kinds of people. But every time you spend $7, because that's close to what our average price point is, every time you spend $7, you get a punch on your card. So if you have a $30 ticket, you'll get four punches. And whenever it's full, you get a free whatever you want. And usually what I'll do is I'll pick the most expensive item on their ticket and give them that free, which kind of floors them, you know.
That's nice.
So, but
that's
it creates different. Tremendous goodwill, and we definitely get people bringing in their friends, and which is really what we want. We have a little bit of a bigger nut to crack because we have the benefit and the stigma of being a healthy restaurant. You know, I get a lot of people who are very interested in eating in a healthy restaurant, but we also get some people who literally run the other way. Because they think the food's
not
going
to be too
I'm
healthy.
Like, no, wait, taste this, you know. But once they eat something,
it really tastes
that was
good
the
too.
Thing that we had to overcome in the beginning when we took over the restaurant is that a vegetarian would come into the restaurant before I owned it. They would come into a restaurant with three of their business partners who were hardcore meat eaters, and they might find something that they were willing to order, and they probably didn't enjoy it, and the owner would have never seen them again. So that was the most important thing for us, is that we wanted, there's just a big cat, it's almost a religious sect being a vegetarian, which is really sad, but everybody needs to have a place that they can eat healthy, whether they're a meat eater or a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And now we'll have people come in, you know, the vegetarian brings their meat eater friends over for a business lunch, and the next week we'll see the meat eaters here coming and get a salmon burger or whatnot.
Great.
But anyway, getting back to the marketing thing, that's been very, very important for us. But I've also found that it's nearly impossible being an owner-operator to wear all the hats effectively. And some of them you need to be willing to shed off and get somebody else. And so we did that. I've got Jessica Thomas, who goes around and gets free publications for us. Paid ads have just never worked, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. We've participated in mailbox marketing where you do the coupons in the mailers, and we get all these people, and you'd see them walking in the door, that person will never come back. They're coming here for their free meal. And that was it cost me $400 a month to do that, and it was a complete and then I was giving away food, so that just really made me sick. But having a marketing person on board to help out. Jessica does a fantastic job. She helped us promote our Breakfast with Santa, which was a smashing success. The place was a zoo, nice. A complete zoo. We all had a good time, though. But it was because she had gotten ads, free ads placed in different places for us for activities in local papers and such.
Chip mentions to me an interesting point is I think it takes a while. To me, that's one of the challenges until you figure out where your niche, like where your dollars are best spent for your particular niche is one of the challenges.
Yes.
You know, because you have to figure it out quick to continue to be successful.
That's true. Fortunately, we started the frequent diner club thing real early on. I just knew that was going to be it because when I used to eat at Moe's all the time, it was like I would get like I'd buy two tacos, you know, so that I could get two punches on my card, and then when it was full I'd go and get, you know, the big nacho plate or something. And I always look forward to that, and I figured if I did, most other people do, and they do.
Yeah,
they
people,
definitely do.
People
now,
the
frequent diner concept though is relatively traditional. I mean, that's not really a new
yes,
but it's
that's
still
true.
Working for you.
Yes, it absolutely is. People really, really use that. One interesting thing that's come up, and this would work for a bigger restaurant where they can afford to buy the computerized system where you have a, you know, a credit card type thing and the computer keeps track of. We're not that sophisticated. We don't want to be. But one problem we'll have is that people don't like carrying the cards around because they end up with a gazillion of them or all the places that they eat. So what I do is I just keep their card in my cash drawer.
Oh, that's nice.
And I'll punch it. Of course, they have to remember to tell me that because about 10 different things. But, yeah.
Well, I think an interesting point, talking about marketing and with the new era, and I think it's a thing that Masha brought up, you know, a year ago, I never would have even heard of the word tweet up. you know?
Yeah, what is that? That's I'm sure that has to do with Twitter.
Come
yeah.
next or week, Twitter, we'll find out.
Whatever. It is, yeah. It's, and that's one of the things that we at Pizzeria Vinci have been doing. My wife, Jamie, has been all over the Twitterverse and, you know, Facebook and all the social media, because when we first opened, we didn't want to, you know, do the traditional. You know, we're a small restaurant. We don't have thousands upon thousands of dollars to invest in marketing. So, right. you know, TV and radio and, you know, print ad. We couldn't do that. So we started a very aggressive social media campaign. And, you know, we have been, from my opinion, we've been quite successful getting people to come try the restaurant because of the stuff we do on Twitter and Facebook and things like that. So, you know, I think we've had 4 tweet ups at our restaurant, you know, and we just started doing them about 6 months ago. And I know that's how I know Todd is through the first tweet up we did with Stephanie Lloyd and Miriam from, they did a couple of there, and we've done a couple from other people. And it's just, you know, it's something where people who are on blogs and Twitter, they're looking for a place to put a face to this online personality. So, you know, they meet at one restaurant, or, you know, it doesn't have to be a restaurant, it could be anywhere. Usually restaurants work well because, you know, you can offer a deal. The restaurant's getting something out of it because you're getting new people coming to them. And, you know, you offer them a special there, and they just come and they mingle, you know. If nothing else, it just gets the word out that, hey, there's this new place that I can go try.
I may be the only person in this room that doesn't know what a tweet up is, but maybe there's some listeners that are like me. What exactly is that?
Just what I called. I mean, just what I said was that, you know, people who follow each other on Twitter and you know.
Instead of a meet up, a tweet up.
Yeah. So people who follow
just
each other on Twitter.
It's just a networking event, yeah. But it's made up of people that are interacting on Twitter and but that just
some
naturally.
People that aren't on Twitter come too because it's a good networking event.
Oh, absolutely. It's an amazing networking event. I mean, shoot, Masha, I think you, what's your capacity, like 80, 85 people? I mean, we'll have 150 people or more at this thing.
Probably 120 to 150 at a time,
which is why Ty will be in jail for
we'll be circulating throughout the night.
You'll have to put up a tent
and we do have an outside breezeway, so we might be hanging out there too.
But Masha, I think, you know, you mentioned that you had an explosion of some special events and some catering opportunities. I know of several that you have this coming month, in addition to Punk Rock, that were generated because of people that came to perform previous tweet-ups.
Yeah,
book signing.
The book signing tomorrow, Michael Harvey with his book, new book, Paper Puzzle. He came to one of the tweet-ups and wine tastings. And from there, he decided to do his book signing event at Fuego Mundo as well. It's going to be tomorrow night, 5 to 8 p.m. And so, yeah, from the tweet-ups, things have developed, and we're planning to have a power core meeting there. And actually, next Thursday, we're having a Hispanic networking event as well. And a lot of this is originated from the first tweet ups. It's just kind of grown from there. A lot of social media, but also I do a lot of person to person networking through the chamber events and as well. And some has come from that as well. And just various, I'm a member of a Latina women's networking group. So.
Chip, you ought to think about that. You don't want to do the tweet up thing. Do the Latino women.
They do allow men,
but
none have shown up.
Now let me.
I would go to that.
This is a question. You know, like you said, this is a roundtable, and this is something that I was thinking about because you said that, you know, with your tweet ups, you come, Masha, you have about 150 people. Does that affect your normal operations, or do you close the store down just for the tweet up?
That's a good question because it was a very hard decision. Trying to figure out what to do, but my husband is very big on not interrupting the regular flow of things, especially because we're a new place, and if people come out to us for the first time and we're closed, that would not look good. So we keep half the section. We have like a private, semi-private area. We keep that for the special event, and then we keep the rest of the restaurant for the regular customers. And at the beginning, we thought that the regular clientele would be upset, but they kind of find it exciting. Some end up merging to the other side and starting to network when they thought they were just coming for a casual dinner. So.
Well, somebody like me, because we don't serve dinner. We're open from 8 until 4.
Breakfast and lunch.
So if I'm understanding the tweet up concept properly, we could probably set one up for the evening when we would otherwise
right.
be closed.
That would be brilliant. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so this show is worth it for you then.
Well, it was excuse me, at Wisteria, it's I'm a little bit different concept. It's a little bit, you know, more white tablecloth dining. So it's hard for me to do those events. And in the last few years, I did no marketing when I first opened. I just kind of let it roll. And when the economy was looking like it was going to be taking a dive, I kind of started looking at what I could do, what would be easy. Where could I start getting my name out there and trying to figure it out on my own? The first thing I started doing was I went with Google advertising, and you just pay per hit. I don't know if any of you guys have done that. But I started hearing all my restaurant buddies, other chefs in the business going, every time I go to look up something, you're there. And I started those little things, and then also started using OpenTable. And I started going to a lot of websites and things that we were already on and just going through those and calling and asking them, what do you offer? You know, how can I get my name up there? Because being W, being Wisteria, is the worst. You're W, you're at the end of everything. Every time I run an award, like we were just in the top 50 in a restaurant magazine, and it looks like I'm the bottom. You know, so for me, you know, I started to realize, and even though I had been open for 6 years, 7 years at the time, everywhere I would go, people still hadn't heard about us. Even though we were, you know, somewhat successful, people still didn't hear about us. And that's how I started getting my name out there. And it's paid off huge for me.
I think you should change your name to AAA Wisteria.
I know. That's what I was always saying. I'm kind of looking at something else lately. I'm like, I got to think of a name because I don't like any names that start with a number. But names that start with a number are always first. You know?
Interesting.
You know, Atlanta Wisteria.
Like one Wisteria. Yeah. And these are some cheaper things that people can try. Like Google AdWords, they'll start you at $5, which you're not going to get anything from $5 a week or $5 a day, but you can do these things, and they the more you spend, the more they put you out there. And just for, you know, smaller businesses that don't have a lot of money, getting their name out there is a good way to do it.
But the other advantage to doing those is you can kind of test some messaging. You can try it an approach, and if people respond to it, you know that okay, well, that messaging must work, and then you're more confident in investing more into that. Or if you get no response, and then you can say, all right, well, that messaging or that approach must not work.
You know, and they're a big company. They're not worried about a little, you know, don't think they're not worried about a little guy like me, you know. They're not saying that you get hits if you don't. You know, it's only if someone clicks on your name do you have to pay for it. So you actually know that you're getting something tangible for your dollar, which I think people need to see these days when they first start marketing. And then just like everyone else, you know, I use Jessica Thomas. And I would have never have used her if I didn't start doing these smaller things in the last year. And I started to realize what marketing was doing for me.
How many of you have a blog on your website?
Pete Vinci does.
Okay.
Fuego Mundo does. Okay. And Todd keeps me very busy.
Well, you know, it's funny to me because...
I'm bad with that.
Because obviously the web is now... It's where the future is the internet, but it's a very competitive space. And you layer that on top of the fact that you're in a very competitive industry. But I've been fascinated and in a little disclosure here, I do occasionally from time to time help Masha with some of her marketing. But we have this blog on the site, and the site's one of the is very very highly ranked on this Alexa, and that's exciting to see. And it's ranked higher than a lot of chain restaurants, which surprises me. And I think a big part of that is the interaction that comes from having that blog and putting up fresh content on a regular basis, talking about culture and healthy eating. And
it was a little annoying at first when Todd kept pushing me. You must do a blog every week.
Well, that's
first he said every day, and then that was not doable. So, okay, at least once a week.
I have something to say about that, too.
With running the restaurant and all the details that come with it, that seemed like an impossible task, but I've taken the time to do that, and it does seem that it's paying off now.
Yes. I also have, besides the restaurant, I have a business that pre-existed the restaurant. It's The Portable Chef, actually theportablechef.com. And singly, the best marketing effort I ever did on that was to start a newsletter, which is, in my opinion, very similar to a blog.
Right.
with the difference, I guess, would be that you're actually sending it to the people who've subscribed, whereas a blog, you can attract people in a different kind of a way. But in terms of your frequency, when people subscribe to your blog or to your newsletter, they expect there to be content when they go to look at it. And if when you start off, it's important to really evaluate what kind of time you do have to put into the thing. I started out doing mine once a week and found that I just couldn't keep up with that.
Right.
And so brevity is really important, too. We can talk about that another time. But I found that doing it once a month was not only easier for me to keep up with, but my customers appreciated that because they weren't getting so much...
Too much email is not good.
Yeah, it's definitely not good. I found that I got a higher subscriber rate and I got less people unsubscribing from my newsletter. I'm not ready to do a blog for my restaurant yet just because, well, I am wearing so many hats.
Right.
And
that's,
I don't want to start something that I can't keep up.
The restaurant business, wearing so many hats.
I'll probably make Jessica do that.
But that's what I was... Earlier when I was talking about Wisteria and the things I was doing, that's what I was trying to get to, especially for younger restaurants, is moving up the Google ladder is a hard process. And the more people you have coming to your website, the more information you're putting on the website, the more every blog you do, every video you do, anything and everything that's a keyword in your that's going to be on your page moves you up the Google, you know, train or whatever you want to call it. And you know, it took us many years to where when you're going to Wisteria, especially being a W, to where we're on the you know, we're almost on the first page all the time. Mm. You know, and you got to remember how many people are looking up Wisteria plants and Wisteria flowers across the U.S. And to be one or two on there, they know where you're at, and it's very important to get your website moved up there. You know,
and you've been open since 2001.
Yes, sir.
Okay, because the big thing about web and internet and all that is it does take time.
They want to trust you.
Yeah, it takes time to develop that.
And they actually have this formula that they trust you or they don't trust you. So being young, the more you can put on there, the more videos of yourself. I know in a few weeks I'm going to make some videos. Excuse me, of me doing some recipes. And actually putting them online where people are coming and going, you know, and looking and wanting to learn how to cook there. And
I think that customer feedback and doing reviews online helps as well.
Yeah, we just started a new thing where we have this nice little cute picture that they take. And on the back of it, we pretty much tell them, please, you know, go to Yelp, to these places and write about us if you had a good experience. Because Google pulls from those, and I'm not keeping going back to Google, but they are the most powerful thing out there. And the more reviews you get is how they move you up. You know, so you call your friends and your family, and they like it. You know,
well, hey. People want to give feedback, and that's the new modern way. Marketing isn't a one way anymore; it's a dialogue. And you know, Masha, you have those customer feedback cards that you have on your tables.
Yeah, we're getting about 50 a week.
I mean, that's a lot more than I thought we'd get 50 in 2009. You know, and so that's been exciting. You know, and then that translates to encouraging that conversation, and we obviously reach out to them and thank them for their participation. That leads to further conversation. So it's fantastic. What I want to do now is I want to talk about 2010. So let's go around the horn again and let's what are some new exciting things you guys are going to try marketing wise in this next calendar year? We'll start with you, Jason.
Oh, what we're going to do at Wisteria for sure is, like I said, we're going to start doing some videos. Where they're nice, slow videos, people can actually learn how to do things. And I've had a lot of customers ask me, you know, they want to learn how to, the simple things, they want to learn how to butcher a chicken. I'll get a lot of people want to know how to make sauces. And I want to start putting videos on there so they can come in, go to the website and learn it. You know, they're going to go back, send it to their friends. Other than that, I know Jessica's got a few things planned for us. I'm hoping just to stay in business through 2010.
Understood.
Right on.
You know, I'm nervous every year, which I guess is a good thing because it keeps me going. I keep my name out there. I do a lot of charity events. I just had someone come in from the Liver Foundation yesterday, and I'm going to do an in-home dinner for them. You know, and getting to meet these people and becoming their friends, you know, when they can put a name with a face, they love it.
Chip?
I have two things that are on the agenda as far as what to do for 2010. One of them is something that I got a taste of just this last weekend with having breakfast with Santa. I had no idea if it was going to be a complete bomb or a smashing success, and it was definitely a smashing success. I mean, it was a total zoo, but everybody had a blast, and people were actually coming up to the counter and saying, thank you for doing this, as though they felt like it was a public service or something. You know, me, it was a marketing coup. But you know, so I've learned a lesson from that. And then hearing Masha talking about the success she's had with having events at her restaurant, that must be the thing to do. And then a thing that goes hand in hand with that, we just hired Jessica Thomas to help us with our marketing efforts. That's one hat that I would really like to shed. I'm good at it, but I don't have time to do it. And so I get a lot of half-assed efforts that end up bombing in the end, and you don't know if it's because it wasn't a good idea or if you just didn't put enough effort into it. But case in point for the breakfast with Santa that we did, I gave it was a sort of a last-minute thing. We had scheduled it 3 weeks ahead of the date, and so I texted Jessica to, you know, whatever you can do, please help us get this big. And she and this another thing I have to say on the same subject, along with what you had said, she got us in five different neighborhood newspapers all in our community, all free. It was all free listings, and something in the AJC, and what else did you? There was something else I heard about. But what was neat was I had people come in that I had never seen before, and they saw me in those three different in three different places. Mm-hmm. And that's like what you were saying about so-and-so saying that, God, everywhere I look, I see you. That's actually a datum in advertising. The more reinforcement you can get of your message, if people see it in enough different places, eventually go, oh, I guess I should show up.
and it takes your time, but it's worth it. I mean, I was just on Good Day Atlanta. We were on Fox 5 for Turkey Day. I've been very lucky, and what I didn't realize with hiring Jessica, you always you know who you are, but you don't know people want to know you. You don't think people
perceive you.
Yeah, you know, and they want you on there. They you know, other shows, people want you, and that's kind of what I've been seeing lately, and that I didn't know about myself.
Brian, what about you? 2010.
Yeah, I mean, for 2010, you know, like I said, now that we have a year behind us, we kind of know what to expect. You know, we have some stuff to some metrics to judge against. So going forward, we're going to continue doing some of the stuff that we found were successful in 2009. We did wine tastings where we did a series of basically we called it the Tour of Italy. We would have different foods and different wines from the different regions, and we'd pair them up together. And yeah, it was a great thing, and it was really successful, and people really enjoyed it because, you know, they got a lot of food and they got a lot of wine, and you know, we don't try to, I'm not trying to retire off these wine tastings. These wine tastings are only available to, yeah. I mean, if they want to pay more for it, I'd be happy to charge. But I mean, we only, you know,
exposure.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes back to the customer satisfaction part of it because it's only available to our people on our email distribution list. Mm-hmm. So it's another reason why I say, hey, you should sign up for this. In addition to sending out free food once a month, we also have these special events that are only available if you're on our email list because we don't really advertise them in-house. We don't really advertise anywhere. We only do it via our email. So, you know, we were doing them quarterly and then we were doing them maybe whatever. So towards the end of 2009, we started doing them once a month, and people really seemed to enjoy that because it would give them something to look forward to. We've got a couple other events that we're working on. I don't really want to get into them now because I haven't vetted them out yet. But we have some other big things that we'd like to do, you know, in 2010 to really try to separate us from the other pizza places because we're, you know, when it all comes down to it, pizza is pizza. People think that it's all the same thing. So
I don't think that's true.
It's all about the water, baby.
Exactly. And I agree with you. But most people in Atlanta think they could go to, you know, A, B, and C pizza places and get, you know, the same pizza. So we're really going to try to emphasize the fact that we are different and that the Italian influences in our products are what separate us. So we've got a couple neat things that you can, you know, go to our website to find out about those in about a month or so.
All right. Masha?
Well, at Fuego Mundo, we are new, just opened 6 months ago. So One of our main goals is to continue to grow sales. I'd like to grow sales by 50% in 2010. And we're lucky in that we appeal to Americans, South Americans, really all ethnicities, and young and old. Young kids love us. Even babies love the food and adults. And it's also a fun place to come on a date or with a group of friends. So we're lucky in that we have we can appeal to a lot of demographics. But one of my goals is that the frequent customers, really to grow it from within, and I'm not sure exactly how that will manifest in 2010, but I'd like our frequent customer base to feel like this is a great solution to come at least once or twice a week so that we can continue to grow it from within. And I'd like to continue to grow the catering and special events. We started it as an experiment in 2009, but I think it's here to stay. So definitely continue with that. Networking events, charity events, book signings, wine tastings. We're having a New Year's Eve bash at the end of the year as well. And social media will be a huge part. Continue to be a huge part in 2010.
How many of you guys are going to do this mobile marketing, this text? Have anybody experimented with that yet? Where,
well, it looks like I'm going to have to start doing it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, the idea I'm talking about is where you you have people subscribe and they give you their cell phone their and you send out texts. And the notion is that if you have a slow night, you can bang out a text and say, hey, it's 7:30, and hey, come on in. So, I have a bottle of Chard for half off tonight, you know, that kind of a thing. And it's and obviously it's a permission based. I would never recommend that you just blast
of
people.
Of course, but I hate it when I get those things.
But I think that's where marketing's going. So I was just curious if any of you guys had.
I mean, we've been approached by several people who do that, and you know, we've thought about it because we've tried utilizing Twitter the same kind of way. You know, if it's a Thursday night and it's 6 o'clock and there's nothing going on, we'll say, hey, come in. Buy a slice, we'll give you a slice for free, and we'll, you know, just show us on your iPhone or your phone or your print it up at your computer, and, you know, we have people who live above us. You know, they'll see that, and they'll just walk down and get
so
a slice.
So if that gets too popular, people just won't go out until they get a text.
There's that risk, and well, I think Twitter is designed for that kind of thing.
Wait for the text.
Well, I think it's also the frequency. If you do that every Thursday, then they're not going to come until they get it. But
right.
if you randomly do it on a Tuesday at 4, or you randomly do it on a Sunday at, you know, whatever. So I think if you're smart about using social media, you can utilize it to your advantage. Now, if you know, if people expect, it goes back to the adage, you know, if you are always giving stuff away for free, why are they going to pay full price for it? Or if you're always discounting stuff 20% off, they're never going to come pay full price. So you've got to be smart about what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely. I had, when I was doing the mailbox marketing thing, I had one particular couple, they would only come on Saturday to get a particular dish. It's the most expensive one on my menu. Not that we're high price, but it, of everything I had, and they would they only came that day, and that would just really irritate me. They never even brought new friends or anything.
To me, that's also one of the biggest challenges with marketing, and especially this economy. Like, we're already at an amazing price point. You can get a full 2 plates of food, steak dinner for $9. So it's very hard to discount off of that.
What kind of steak is that?
It's tenderloin steak skewers.
Nice.
And you can get the skirts, Argentinian skirt steak, for $10.
That's my favorite.
But so it's very hard. That's one of the challenges in this economy, because people do want the coupons, something free or something discounted. They feel like they're not getting a deal. So it's kind of a cross. Do we discount to bring them in, or do we? If you do it too much, then they start depending on it. But then you can't make money if it's continually discounted. So it's kind of a balancing act.
I think one of the interesting things, you know, coming from someone, you know, like Fregamundo and myself, who are fairly new, it becomes a cost benefit. You know, like doing the mailbox marketing, it's like, well, these people are only going to come in if they get the food, but if they don't come in and they don't buy anything, then, you know, what's the point? I mean, they have to come in at least once to see what you're about and then make that decision if they're willing to pay full price for it and come back without a coupon or not.
Well, I think the unique situation we have is that we appeal to a specific type of people.
Right.
We don't broadly appeal to everyone.
You have a niche.
Exactly. And so when you do something like that with mailbox marketing that's just going out to the general public by zip code, then the people that we found we were attracting, and maybe it was just the way that we put together our marketing, you know, the brochure, maybe we could have done it in a different way. But we only attracted bargain hunters, and I never did see any of those people come back.
Well, that's when they, like, I at Wisteria, I can't really be this coupon half off.
That's a little weird for your
If I did half off, I would be out of business. I just can't afford to do those kind of things. But what I am offering, like this season, is we have our gift cards, and I'll give them another, you know, if they buy 100, I'll give them another $20 gift card where they've already purchased something for it. You know, right. If I did half off my wine list, once you went over like $40, I'd be giving you money. And so it's harder for me to do those kind of things.
Yeah, in theory, I believe I would like to reward the frequent customers, not so much the ones that have never been there or just one-time customers. So it's a challenge to be able to balance that and keep good prices.
Oh, yeah, and something I did this year and I'm very proud of, we did an Emmett Park Restaurant Week, which I don't know if you guys have seen. You know, like they do the Midtown Restaurant Week. And it was our first year we started it. I've never had this kind of response. It was a Saturday night every night of the week from Monday on. Hmm. And I don't know what neighborhoods a lot of us are in, but getting the restaurants together as a group, and everyone's paying for the marketing, everyone's throwing in, so the cost is very minimum, and the payoff was huge. And we did $25 for 3-course menus, and all of us did it from Rathbun's, Sean's, me, everyone in the neighborhood, and we had no idea it was going to be that busy.
Nice,
that's great, guys. Boy, I hate to do this, but we're out of time. What I have learned today is that we're going to need to do round two of this discussion. This was
every
a lot
month.
Of fun. I think it's a,
every
I,
month.
I tell you what, part of it was to help each other and learn from each other. I think we've achieved some of that. I know I've learned some things today. What I do want to do, though, before we go, is just go around the horn one more time. And I'd like for you to talk about the name of your restaurant, give us your website, a phone number, maybe where you're located, and then take the chance to announce some sort of a holiday special or event or promotion that you're doing. So let me start with you again, Jason.
All right. Well, at Wisteria, like I said a minute ago, we're doing our, you know, if you buy a $100 gift card, we give you another $20 gift card. And we're located at 471 North Highland Avenue, which is Emin Park. We're right down from downtown. We're at wisteria-atlanta.com. And our phone number is 404-525-3363.
Thanks for being here, Chip.
Thank you.
Yes. So I'm Chip DeSormo, the chef and owner of Brookhaven Bistro, and that's the web address as well, brookhavenbistro.com. The phone number for the restaurant is 404-846-2233, 404-846-2233. And then if it's okay, I'd like to make one more plug for somebody else. I didn't realize this, but I think everyone is using Jessica Thomas's services. Oh, not everybody. That's going to have to change. But just to say her web address, if anyone listening is interested, her web address is www.jessicathomaspr.com. And then over to you.
Yeah. So, again, my name is Brian Lackey, the owner of Pizzeria Vinti in Buckhead. We're on 2770 Lenox Road, just about a mile down the street from Lenox Mall. You know, we are also doing some, you know, holiday gift card things where if you buy, you know, we're a smaller restaurant. So if you buy $20, we'll give you a $5 gift card on top of that. We also have, a lot of people don't realize it when they look inside the front door, but we actually have a fairly large private room at the back that we rent out for holiday parties and stuff like that. So if anyone's looking for that, they can contact us. And we also do catering. So, and you can visit our website at www.pizzeriaventi-atlanta.com, and the phone number is 404-228-2013.
Thanks, Masha.
Okay, Fuego Mundo, it means a world of fire in Spanish, and it's a South American wood fire grill. Our website is fuegomundo.com, and I'll spell it fuegomundo.com. We're located at the Prado in Sandy Springs. And the telephone number is 404-256-4330. go online and join our newsletter, and you'll be informed of ongoing events and get specials. As a loyal fanatico, you get ongoing specials as well. And one of the exciting things we're doing this year to wrap up the year is a New Year's event. You're going to get a 5-course dinner, music, dancing, fun. We may have a belly dancer. Music from around the world.
That's me.
And it's all going to be just for $49 a person and $89 for a couple. So we hope to see you then.
All right. Well, Stone, boy, I didn't know how this was going to go, but I think it was kind of fun.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm getting kind of hungry, and I hope our listeners enjoyed this edition of the Jessica Thomas Show. Until next time, this is Stone Todd, the Brookhaven Bistro, the Wisteria, Pizza Vente, Fuego Mundo, and of course, Jessica Thomas, our producer Lee Cantor, and everyone here at the Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.